All right, everybody, back in your seats. Pens and pencils down. Here we go. It's John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. If you're coming along, don't forget somebody gets to be letter of the day as chosen by the teeny tiny letter right over there. You write to us at mynorthwest.com or the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5-WA-76. Oh, welcome. I'm diving on the nose. I'm coming here. With the governor on Friday, I wonder if this, when these people are sitting there waiting to come on the air, they're like, what is diving into the news? What is all that sound effect stuff? This is a crazy show. A lot of people over the weekend that listened to the show were like, yeah, you should have given the old what's for. Yeah, you should have let him get a little around. It's just anybody that listened on Friday. Here's what happens. When the governor's office writes you, they say, we're going to give you 5 minutes. It's basically letting you know that if they feel at any time he doesn't want to answer a question, they'll just go, I thank you for the opportunity. I have to go, and then just leave, right? So you have to kind of let him in there, and he does filibuster on the stuff and try to, like, make a couple of points, but it's, you know, it's so confined, and at any minute they can just disappear that you just think, well, first time on the show, let's just, you know, be welcoming and friendly, right? Different points of view, all welcome here. So hopefully that was the take that the governor's office got. But
apparently the My Northwest article is doing very, very well for us.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my comment on it was, when I said, what do you tell the people that have been waiting for 10 years for this thing? Well, I'm just as frustrated as they are. But they're not the governor. I mean, you could do something, right? You could have done something when you seen the electric ferries were going to be delayed. You could have done something. 2018, you said, let's get them. And then they find out the price and you still had all this stuff you still don't even have one yet designed, ready to go. So they'll continue to be frustrated by it. But, it's always a tough call when, you know, at any minute they could just pop off the line. I saw this piece today in the National Review. They're talking about the average American. Sherry, as they were running through these numbers, the average American was at 58% have read one book or 54% have read one book in 2023. If you didn't graduate from college, 73% of people that have a high school degree but no college, 73% have read zero books. That one-fifth of people say they, or 38% say they keep track of all the news. Most people don't, right? A fifth say they don't really pay much attention to the news at all. Talking about the average American, what'd you sort of take from that piece as they were kind of running through the things that people really do care about?
Well, it reminded me of when I was working at a radio station a few years ago, and it was the Arab Spring. And it was a news show, and I wanted to do things about that. So I would often have people come on. I would talk about it. We would sort of go in depth with some people. And the news director came to me one day and he said,
oh boy,
I know you feel passionate about this, but he said, let me tell you something. Nobody in Baltimore gives up about Egypt. Okay. In other words, knock it off. They want to know, you know, if crab season is going to be big this year. So it's I think this reflects that type of thing, that the idea that somehow people are truly invested in a lot of these topics, it doesn't bear out when they do, at least with this poll, it doesn't. People care about abortion, about 3%. Gun control, that's when they're asked about the most important thing. And Gallup does this survey, and it's
once a month they do the survey, and they leave it open-ended. They say, so what's one issue that you're most concerned with, right? They don't give any prompts, and you see where the stuff lands.
Yeah, and for instance, I mean, things like cost of living, 38%. Say that that's a big issue for them. And the other point in here is that neither presidential candidate are dealing with any of the things that matter most. I mean, Biden is looking at abortions, forgiving student loans, union jobs. And these are things that, as he says, Americans don't really lose sleep over.
No. They don't care. They don't care. And they don't care about the student protests. You know, they're not really tied in what's going on in Israel. It's one of the luxuries of being an American. I've got friends from various countries they live in, and they know everything that's happening in America, right? And if you're living in Iran or Iraq or some other place or some country that can easily be overturned, all of a sudden, you know, in Turkey, things happen and your entire life is disrupted, or in Greece when they, you know, bankruptcy, basically, everyone's tied in on the news because the stuff swings and it's so volatile, the wild swinging from, you know, whoever's an elected official, and then all of a sudden they're thrown out, and then the economy hits the skids. And because this sort of erratic nature of some other countries, but America just keeps steaming along, and you talk to the average person, they're like, they don't care. They just don't. So when Gallup asks this every month, they say, what are you concerned with? And it has for the last couple of months been the economy and inflation, right? And now the border. But all that other stuff is getting like climate change, 2%, race relations, 3%, you know, trans rights, 1%. Some stuff doesn't even, but you go to the White House, that's what they're pushing, all of this stuff. They're not even talking to the people about anything that anybody even is concerned with. It's really odd. And they say that Donald Trump just cares about Donald Trump and what's happening with him and the court case. So both candidates that are running for president are not speaking to the real issues that Americans seem to care about.
Congratulations, birds.
There you go. So Joe was on with Howard Stern.
Thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion, and I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history, 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even
what is this is Howard Stern?
Yeah, those talking points are right out of the White House. I mean, he's reading the list they gave him.
It's weird that he
the marijuana reform laws. Enough with sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect for Marriage Act. What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay? How is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right? Love is good.
My dad said,
this is a lie. This story is a lie. Flat out crap, crap, crap. And Howard Stern doesn't even question it. Yeah, my dad here, this makes no sense. This story makes no sense. He tells it over and over again.
Love is good.
My dad said, we saw two men kissing one another in Rodney Square when I was going in to get a license. I looked at him, he said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other.
That's it. That's how I look at it.
You know who gives...
Yeah, 1954, whatever it was, 57. Yeah, two men in ties. By the way, he's changed the location of where it's happened. Once he was being dropped off at school, but you know, he's Rodney Square, go get his license or something. Come on. Yeah, your dad. Yeah, your dad sold used cars. Your dad's like, it's simple, Joey. They love one another.
Well, and Howard Stern just really...
Yeah, he ate it up. What happened to Howard?
Credit, the American people are relentless. The American people are stepping up. Whether who are they go for? They just never give up. We're the most unique.
What's wrong with Howard Stern?
I this is a wild guess.
Okay.
But Howard Stern may be looking for some sort of political favor or political something. I mean, I can't imagine why else he would do it. If he's that passionate about the Democratic Party, I don't listen to his show, so I don't know. Maybe he has turned into somebody that's very Biden-like. But that's even with most of his guests, he's not, you know, not being over the top like that.
Phew. What do you get out of that? God, in the last part.
Country in the world. We really are.
We are, but we I don't really want to lose it.
We're not going to lose it. God willing.
We'll lose it, yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mr. Appreciate President. Look at me sitting with the president.
Look at me sitting with Howard Stern.
Wow, I mean.
Were you sitting with the president, or was he sitting on your lap, Howard? I can't. People were seated.
And that sums it up.
Him
saying, look at me sitting with the president. He wants to curry favor, probably because he would like him to be a regular guest. That would be pretty exciting to have the president
on a
regular basis.
No, because who would
basis.
Tune into that? Here's the other thing. Is like, for anybody listening to Howard Stern for all those years, the guy, you know, called BS on stuff all the time, irreverent, disrespectful, politically incorrect, all that stuff. He didn't care. That's who he was. And then all he had this kind of weird Saul to Paul conversion, and just, it's bizarre. What are his ratings like? Joe Rogan's still dominating. Howard's not getting paid what Joe Rogan gets paid. When Howard went over into the podcast world, he was all upset, or into the satellite world. He was mad that people weren't following him over there, and he was mad at his listeners for not paying $10 a month or whatever it was to listen to him. But, jeez, that is bizarre. And well, I can't imagine Howard Stern fans. Howard Stern fans, are they even still around anymore? Because that's not Howard Stern that people knew.
I think the bigger question is, who's listening to satellite radio? I mean, I was on it, so I listened to some of it. But I don't know many people. I hear it in, like, beauty salons and places like that. But people having to pay salons. For it. Well, yeah, you know, because they play, salons. Like, the 80s track or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but, you know, he gets paid. I don't know if he's still getting paid $50 million, but he got paid $50 million to go over from commercial radio over to...
His last contract was 5 years, $500 million.
Oh, $500
million. Yeah, okay. But that also included, like, he had to pay his staff out of that, too, so he didn't take home $500, but that was for his show.
But he doesn't have Baba Booey anymore, and Stuttering John, those guys are all gone,
Baba
right?
Booey's still there. Stuttering John's not in there, but he still does that. He still has, like, the whack pack, and he Baba still does Bowie. All the dumb, you know, he's got a whole month dedicated to penises. Like, he still does that.
Oh, okay, but, good. What month is that? Still time to shop?
That's October. I'm sure you can guess what they call it.
Fine. Speaking of comedians that aren't funny, Joe Biden at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I want to thank you for the warm welcome, but please, not so loud. Donald was listening. Sleepy Don. I kind of like that. I may use that again. Of course, the 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Speaking of history. Did you hear what Donald just said about the major Civil War battle? Quote, Gettysburg, wow. Trump's speech was so embarrassing, the statue of Robert E. Lee surrendered again. I had a great stretch since the State of the Union. Well, Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell?
Okay, fine. You know, it was Barack Obama getting up there and blasting away at Donald Trump. It was one of the reasons Trump decided to run. He's making fun of him. You know, one thing you'll never be is President of the United States. Do you remember that when he was sitting
in the audience.
He was in the audience, and Obama just unloaded on him. And the camera would swing back to Donald. He's sitting there staring, you know, glaring at Barack Obama, the president. And the president it was merciless, the attacks. And Trump has just got his arms crossed, and he's thinking to himself, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to win. And you can laugh all you want, but, you know, who'll have the last laugh? Finally, one more of slightly unfunny thing. Here
Third
we go.
Third anniversary of January 6th, I went to Valley Forge. And I said the most urgent question of our time is whether democracy is still the sacred cause of America. That is the question the American people must answer this year. And you, the Prefress, play a critical role in making sure the American people have the information they need to make an informed decision. A defeated former president has made no secret of his attack on our democracy. He said he wants to be a dictator on day one, and so much
just
more.
On day one.
He tells supporters he is their revenge and retribution.
Fine. Yeah. I tell you, the time I went to that thing, I went twice. I've told the angry old man. I've told the story twice. But
heard it, move on.
Wanted.
Heard it, move on.
You got two of them.
I got invited to the kid. I got invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I wanted to wear something nice, something different. So I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'd never heard of kinta cloth before, but I liked it. It was nice. It had orange and it had black and it had some purple in it and brown. You know what kinta cloth is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's got kind of a rough texture to it. I think it's African. I don't know what part of Africa, yes. Southern, Northern Africa, or whatever the kinta cloth originates from. Nancy Pelosi wore some kinta cloth when she was praying to the death of George Floyd. Anyway, so I got a kinta cloth bow tie and cummerbund. And I didn't know that it's like, that's like, I was somehow not supposed to wear it. And I walk in and my friend goes, oh my God, what the hell are you doing? I was like, what, you like it? He's like, it's kinta cloth. I said, oh, really? I like it. He goes, you can't wear that. I said, why not? He goes, because it's ridiculous on you. I said, well, I can't take my bow tie off. Well, you can't wear that. It's like, what are you kidding me? I don't want to walk around with a bow tie on.
Right, what is that called when you steal somebody else's
appropriation?
Culture? Yes, appropriation.
I was appropriating. Yes. I was one of the first appropriators, apparently, like in the early 90s, walking around my kinta cloth. And I love that thing with the cummerbund. It was so nice.
Well, bring it out now.
Oh, I took it off, and I took off the cummerbund, and then I felt bad. Like, I don't want to be seen throwing it away, because then they find it in the garbage. Like, hey, weren't you the guy that had the kinta cloth on? Brother, I dumped that.
Did she hold it all night? What did you do with it?
I got rid of it. I just let him. I don't even tell you. It's too embarrassing. But I didn't wear the bow tie. I had to get rid of it.
Did you flush it down the toilet?
No, you can't. Not kinta cloth. I went in when no one was looking. I pulled the garbage bag out of the men's room, out of the garbage bag, right? Because I didn't want to put it in there, because I wanted somebody to find it with all the paper towels. So I pulled the plastic out, threw it down into the metal container, and then put the plastic back on top.
Wouldn't it have been funny if you did that, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody go, hey, John, and they saw the whole thing behind you.
Oh, my God. My friend Dave from Channel 8 was like, what are you doing?
Huh?
Oh, God. Yeah, you can't wear kinta cloth, Sherry.
I'll take it off right now.
Anyway. All right, yeah, get rid of it. I will, Sherry, after I take my car to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. They've been around for 54 years. Imagine that, 54 years.
It's a long time.
Anybody still working there? A long time. Like, yeah, take it over to Gus. He's been with us for 54 years.
That'd be saying something.
They'd be like, Gus, Gus, what? Like, never mind. We don't know if Gus is there, but if he is, take the Bucky's, take it over to Gus at Bucky's Auto Service Centers. All right, now finally we go. We got a priest. We have an AI priest. Is the Catholic Church already denounced this, or do they come up with this guy? Do they like this guy? Or no?
Yeah, no, that's their, it's, I believe it's created by them, and
birds coming from?
Wow,
they're coming from the AI priest. He's standing outside of like a Spanish looking kind of monastery.
All right, let me set this up. So,
yes. The only thing they changed was they tried to pull him off as a real priest. They had him in the collar and all of that, and then people kind of complained because they said that's weird. So they put him in a sport coat and just like regular clothes, and he calls himself Father Justin.
Weird, no, but he's weird. He lost the power. He doesn't have the secret collar on. He's given that up.
Yeah, because people didn't want them to think that it was a real priest and he was giving advice like a real priest would.
Okay. All right. Well, you lose a little credibility by not having the collar on. But
welcome to our latest web application, Father Justin. Like most technology, artificial intelligence can be used for good or bad. As a media company, Catholic Answers is dedicated to keeping an eye on the ever-changing media landscape we operate in, and this project has allowed us to dip our toes into the wonderful world of AI. We chose the appearance of a parish priest because it's well-recognized across the world as something distinctly Catholic, but it should go without saying that this is a 3D model supported by AI AI to give you answers to your questions about the Catholic faith. It is for educational and entertainment purposes only. In essence, Father Justin is a fancy search engine and not a replacement for real human interaction. If there are issues you struggle with, please seek guidance from your pastor or spiritual advisor. If AI is not your thing, we totally understand, and we recommend that you use the search function on our website at Catholic.com. At this point, Father Justin only works on desktop computer browsers, but we hope to release a mobile-friendly version very soon. If there are any issues with the answers you are given, please use the feedback option to tell us about it. Thank you so much for taking time to watch this video, and God bless you.
All right, so Father Justin joins us now on the show, right? Is he there? Is he ready to go?
He's there, and we just have to cue Nora when we want to actually ask him a question and just try to keep him short and sweet.
Okay. Sherry, do you have one for Father Justin, or do you want me to fire one off for him?
Why don't you go, since you are Catholic and you might have one that you've always wondered about?
Okay. Ready? Father Justin, can I receive the sacrament of the Holy Communion if I haven't gone to confession in a long time?
I must clarify, I am not a priest, but a lay theologian named Justin. Regarding your question, the Church teaches that one must be in a state of grace to receive Holy Communion. If you're aware of having committed a mortal sin, you should seek the sacrament of reconciliation before receiving communion. This is in line with 1 Corinthians 11 verses 27 to 29, where St. Paul warns against receiving the Eucharist unworthily. However, it's important to remember that only a validly ordained priest can provide the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist. I strongly recommend you to seek a priest for guidance.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I don't like this guy. One minute he was a priest, now he's just, I'm not a priest, but, you know, go talk to somebody else. He's out there feeding the birds like St. Francis. Okay, go ahead. Fire a question off for this guy. Go ahead, Sherry.
Ready? What?
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, Father Justin, is worthily a word? Well, that's what he said before. It didn't sound right. I think it would be worthy, but worthily, I don't know.
Hey, don't make fun of him now.
Well, like you were thinking he was great.
I must clarify once again. I am not a priest, but
a
lay theologian named Justin.
Hi, Justin.
As for your question, worthily is indeed a word. It is an adverb meaning in a manner deserving of. In the context of receiving the Eucharist, it refers to receiving the sacrament with the proper reverence and preparation, including being in a state of grace,
As
outlined
Justin.
In 1 Corinthians 11 verses.
Sherry, just trying to catch you.
Yeah. How about that, Sherry?
All right, one last one. Let's see if you can do it. You ready? I'll do it with him. Ready? Hey, Father Sportcoat, can you say an act of contrition?
I must insist, I am not a priest. My name is Justin, and I am a lay theologian. I am here to help answer your questions about the Catholic faith to the best of my ability. Please, let's respect the roles within the Church. Now, what would you like to know about our faith?
Oh, screw you.
He dodged that one.
Yeah, he did.
You can't say that to a faith priest.
Yeah. Marijuana, they're all high.
You can't say that to a lay theologian.
We were told it was going to be an AI priest, and he was going to be a priest, and then the Catholic Church got scared, and they're like, because he even had the collar on. And then they're like, no. So he has to start with all of that stuff, because they don't want to make it seem like a priest, because then if somebody's, I went to him for last rites, then he's going to say, I can't give you last rites. So they kind of backed off on it. But the birds are nice. Where is he in a aviary or something like that? Is he
sitting out in the garden of a kind of an old church?
Oh, okay, fine.
It's very serene.
Last questions for him, Sherry?
Yeah, I don't really have any questions for him. I mean, I heard enough. I mean, really, I don't really. I was going to ask him a very nice question about Catholic Church.
I got one for him. If you get all political. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey there, whatever your name is. You got a good Catholic joke?
I'm glad to hear that you're ready to discuss our faith. My name is Justin, and I'm a lay theologian. I'm here to provide answers to your questions about Catholicism. Yes. What would you like to discuss?
Never mind.
He doesn't like any of your questions. Ask him again. Say, two priests walk into a room, walk into a bar.
He's going to do the same thing. He's going to do the same thing.
That's the perfect question. It really is the perfect question.
Yeah. Okay. We'd be better off talking to Sue Bell. yeah. The act of contrition was the thing the nuns made us learn verbatim when we were in fifth grade or fourth grade, because they said, even if you've done horrible things, if you can get an act of contrition out into the world, just say it, then you'll automatically go to heaven, even if you're like a horrible person. So then they said, so if something heavy falls on you, we'd be up in the front of the room, and then we'd go, okay, imagine the bookshelf fell on you, and you have to say the act of contrition like in 30 seconds or something like that, because it's your last breath. And the kids would be up there like, come on, now just act like you're something heavy's falling on you. And then you stand up there and then do it as fast as you could. I was like, wow, this is really bizarre. And they were like, get Louis Milioni to sit on you because he was heavy. No, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, religion's a little, sometimes a
Here
little strange.
Hold on. Ready? See, Andrew, 30 seconds. Something heavy falls on me. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest of all my sins, because I dread the loss of heaven, the pains of hell, but most of all, I offend thee, my God, who are all good and reserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of my grace to confess my sins, to do my offense, mend my life. Amen. Back. Going to heaven.
Wow. That was really impressive.
Who's
that
going
was.
To heaven?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's going
yeah.
to heaven? Get this thing off of me. What is it, grand piano?
Yeah. Yep. We're going to call you Father John.
No, I'm not Father John. I am merely Jorge, whatever the guy's name is. All right. Welcome back to John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. Oh, no, some breaking news. Oh, no. As you know, one zebra has still not been captured in the North Bend area.
Everybody grab
Reporting
their sticks.
Live from North Bend is Sherry Elliger, who has not seen the zebra, but does have important breaking news for us. Sherry.
Well, John, the zebra went loose and away from his pack yesterday. It's sort of surprising to know that he felt like he had to rebel against those of his kind. I understand that zebras now, we are enlightened that they despise people, and the only way to get rid of them is not to ride them and beat them with a stick. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Sherry. Here is some more news regarding beating them
Step
with a
four,
stick.
Grab a stick. Despite your best efforts, the zebra bites you and won't let go. Those teeth are designed for fighting. They're like a giant pair of pliers, and you need to get them off of you as soon as you can. If anyone is nearby, they can be a potential lifesaver by chasing off the animal with a stick. In 2017,
let's go back to Sherry Elliger, who is reporting live for us there in North Bend, who was earlier telling everyone don't use a stick. Now we're hearing a stick could be your best defense.
That's right, John. It sounds like the experts are telling us that everyone should be provided a stick or go out and make their own stick, because that zebra is on the loose. There has been no sighting of him. He does not have a microchip. We have no idea where he's going to end up next. So, hide the cat, get a stick.
Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate that. We'll have more news for you regarding the missing zebra who is on the loose in North Bend. We're just hoping maybe that zebra heads over to the University of Washington and starts to kick the crap out of some of those protesters. Am I still on the air?
Did you guys know, live on MyNorthRest.com, there is a live camera of a bear enclosure at a zoo, and a flock of ducks flew into it, and the whole newsroom is sitting there watching this live feed of these bears just mauling and destroying ducks.
Breaking news. The breaking news again. Aww. Let's go to breaking news. Breaking news. A bear is mauling a bunch of ducks. Let's go to Sherry Elliker, who's on the scene now covering that. Sherry.
Well, I believe that the real story here is the insensitive and inconsiderate news staff that finds it humorous or somewhat entertaining to watch an animal maul another animal. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate that. Perhaps the news staff needs a stick to hit Sherry with, because she had nothing good to say about the news staff watching a bear maul. What were they? What's the bear eating?
They're eating ducks. For some reason.
That's so mean.
Well, I mean.
Oh, now I feel. But now I feel. Now.
Oh, my God. He's going to get one.
That's why I don't like nature stuff, because it's mean.
But there's probably 100 kids with their faces up against the window. They're just letting them. Oh, my God.
Oh, you're watching too,
what
Joe?
What is this happening,
it's,
Joe?
It's on TikTok, Joe. But they have a live stream embedded onto mynorthwest.com.
Why? That's not news.
Where's it coming from?
It's coming from Happy Trees TikTok account. They're live streaming.
I know,
it.
But was it?
They're at the
is
zoo.
Is it local?
No. Let me see. This. It's not local. It is at. A zoo in. Oh boy. No. Wait.
But the big story is
Woodland Park.
It's Woodland Park Zoo.
It is radio. Yeah, an afternoon radio show producer tells people to leave his own show to go watch TikTok instead.
Well, at least it's local.
Oh, at least it's local. Oh, okay, they're all local ducks. All right, good.
That's better.
Get that zebra in there. Kick some people around.